the great Kahan Betziel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Yahweh's providing us with a gentle rain to settle the dust and the pollens, and we're going to be a beautiful green and green and gold for the feast. Praise Yahweh for that. I'm so joyful to be here, to be able to be here to speak with you today, and it's so exciting to see the things that are occurring within and proceeding forth from the great house of Yahweh. But we see that the world's in a real mess at this time, and Yahweh is our only hope, our only hope. If you turn with me over to Matthew 26, we're looking at the great feast of Passover coming up. In Matthew 26, we see an example of what occurred in the time of Yahshua. Now, in verse 17, we see that before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yahshua and asked of him what they needed to do. And in verse 19, he said, "And the disciples did as Yahshua directed them, and they made ready," that is, prepared themselves for the Passover. And the emphasis here is on preparation. And what I want to bring to you today, you know, as a priest, there's times when people call on you for prayer. And we know that sin separates us from Yahweh. And that the time we need to be in contact with Yahweh the most is when someone comes to us for help. And, you know, there's been times when I did something stupid and I cut myself off from Yahweh. And then that call came, that text came. And someone said, "I need help. I'm sick. I need your prayers. I'm facing trouble and difficulty." They're relying on us. The world is relying on the house of Yahweh, not even knowing us at this time, but relying on us to do our part, to be there for them as a contact to Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And when you realize that you've done something that has hindered that, that's a real blow. And so you start to straighten up and try to figure out what you can do to straighten out your life. And so I had some experiences, and our great sisters that spoke a couple of weeks ago reminded me of the importance of some of these things. And so this week, you know, I listened to some of Pastor's sermons from last Passover, and I thought, yeah, that's what I want to talk about. And then I heard some recent great sermons from the great Kahans, and I thought, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. And we need to hear it again and again. And I want to help you with this statement. And we're going to go into this. And that is, you can set your mind to be the person you need to be when it really counts. And when I'm sitting here at Yahshua's Memorial, and when you're sitting here at Yahshua's Memorial, it's not a time to have a guilty conscience. And so there's some things that we can do. And really, one big thing we can do to make sure that we've done the best that we can do to be right with Yahweh at that time and to be able to have a great feast and to be a joyful servant and not have our thoughts, you know, on our poor, pitiful selves because we didn't do what we needed to do. Psalms 110. Psalms 110, verse 1. Yahweh said to my ruler and king, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Yahweh will send the rod. This is the branch of your strength. The laws and the prophets out of Zion, and we understand Zion to be the 613 laws represented here. And in Isaiah 2:2, we see it's referring to the last day's work. You will rule or judge, that is, making decisions, righteous decisions for the people in the midst of your enemies. Your people will have proved themselves obedient to the law on that day you go forth in power. They will unite with you, arrayed in their holy garments like the morning dew. They will completely cover the earth, governing with you. And if you've ever seen when the sun's coming up nice and orange in the morning, there's dew on the plants, and you see that golden glow, it reminds me of when we're all gathered in the sanctuary in our gold, and that sparkling gold, that's what that reminds me of. But I want you to take a look at three specific things in verse 1 through 3 here. First, in verse 1, it says, until. So we see that it takes time for this to develop. In verse 2, we see that we're going to be doing something here. So we're teaching, we're bringing forth the laws, making righteous decisions, all the while in the midst of our enemies, both, you know, big and small, small and great. And finally, in verse 3, we see that obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. And that's something we need to have in our minds to be successful with this idea of making up our minds to be that person we need to be. Recently, I made a trip to a well-known store, and we made a comment about the numbers of people we saw there that obviously had some mental illness difficulties with their mental capacities. And we've talked about this in the House of Yahweh. There's just the statistics on this are enormous. The number of people suffering from mental illness, whether it's one thing or another, and so many people being treated for that. But there's something I noticed for some time now, that in many cases, even with these impairments or these challenges, they still are able to set their mind to get the things they want. So, for example, some of them drive cars and they stop at stop signs. And in fact, they walk among you and get their groceries and make choices and decisions, and they don't bother you. For the most part, they stay to themselves, so they're making choices. But it's the choices they want to make. And if there was something that came up that made them uncomfortable or they felt threatened, then you might have an issue. Sometimes when you're out there, you see familiar faces, people who were once among us. And I realize that there's nothing I can say or do to help those until they are able to make this choice themselves, to be willing to accept Yahweh's instructions from Yahweh's house. And it involves a personal choice, and every one of us are capable of doing it. We do it all the time with the things we want. More, even more than healthy food, because we need that for the body, we must have healthy food for the mind. Now, we know how destructive negative thoughts are, or I think we know. But we can choose to refuse them if we want to. And if we can clearly see that these are standing in our way, it makes it a little easier to refuse them. Proverbs chapter 4 gives us a great instruction on this. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. You get that idea in your head, the flowing springs pouring forth. We want that to be blessings pouring forth from us, not cursings. Put away from you a froward mouth, false and deceitful speech, and put perverse lips, dishonesty far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Keep your gaze right in front of you. Watch where your feet are going. Step only on established paths. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Walk away from evil. And this is all a part of this choice. In the self-control book, self-control, the intermediate, page 15 and 16. Thinking negative thoughts about an individual will not solve the problem. An important part of developing self-control is learning to think in a way that promotes true moral values and is respectful towards yourself and others. Positive thoughts encourage you to build your character and continually strive towards excellence. Notice the personal responsibility in this. Positive thoughts about others remind you, as human beings, they are worthy of respect. You do not have to resort to thinking negatively. You do not have to resort to thinking negatively about someone else because he or she has hurt your feelings or has been unkind to you. Thinking negative thoughts about that individual will not solve the problem. On page 16, you can read this on your own. It's a matter of choice. It's what you choose, what you want. You choose which thoughts to focus on and which to let go. That's in your power to do. We may not all be practicing it, faith, you know, all the time, but it's something that we can develop. Now we're close to Psalms, so let's go back to Psalms 111. Psalms 111, verse 2. Great are your works, O Yahweh. Your works are sought out by all those who have pleasure in them. Finding pleasure in the works of Yahweh. Verse 7. The works of your hands are truth and judgment. This is what Yahweh is about. And all your works are sure. That word sure, notice the side note E, meaning positive, to build up, support, to foster as a nurse, to be firm or faithful, not wishy-washy, not just the great old boys club, you know, I'm your friend, you be my friend, you know, you pat my back, I'll pat yours, but no, firm and faithful, firm in upholding the law, being a righteous friend. Don't let others go astray by your example, but certainly be faithful, to be permanent, to be true or certain, like Yahweh. Hence, assurance, established, steadfast, like the house of Yahweh, verified. It's all right there in that word, sure. That's what Yahweh's about. This is what we find at the great house of Yahweh. These are the things that are taking place here and going forth from the house of Yahweh. Verse 10, the reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A great understanding have all they who do your laws. Your praise endures forever. So what we need to be doing is feeding our mind with these thoughts. Feeding our mind with clean influences. If you need answers to basic questions coming up to the feast, we have the information guide. That's available to us. Or have someone read it to you. If you need help with how to make right choices and make right decisions, what do you do? Well, we have guides also for that. Where did I put it? Oh, here it is. This is the self-control. All of the peaceful solution lessons to help us in these things. Or have someone else read it to you. It's a great way to spend your time. But practice it. Don't let someone else just take all the responsibility. You practice it. Feed your mind with clean influences. I have an article here about internet addiction. Just want to read a few lines here. Out of control internet use, and they call it internet addiction disorder. And as soon as you put the word addiction on somebody, on something, people go, oh, no, it's not me. I'm not an addict. Well, okay, internet distraction disorder. Okay, we'll soften it up. Can you accept that? You know, I've been distracted by it, and I'm sure many of you know what that feels like. Okay. Specialized MRI scan, brain scans, where they look into the what's going on in the brain, showed changes in the white matter of the brain. There was evidence of disruption to connections in nerve fibers linking the brain areas involved in emotions, decision-making, and self-control. It's amazing it can have that kind of an effect over you, but it does, under certain circumstances. We'll talk about that. Overall, our findings indicate that IAD has abnormal white matter integrity in the brain regions involving emotional generation and processing, executive attention, and decision-making, and cognitive control. So this sounds like something we need to have under control, right? Most physicians agree that there's a problem when net use interferes with daily life and interpersonal relationships. The internet provides escape and diversion from the real world and its problems. So I kind of can't blame them too much because there's plenty of problems and the real world isn't too pleasant out there. But, you know, we need to be thinking about solutions. And just a final note on this. I want to iterate, so this is the researcher, that the internet is a formidable and highly useful communication tool. It allows some people who have no social relationships in the real world to develop their social skills online. And, you know, this is his point of view, but we also use it to carry the message to, you know, that positive, that beneficial food for the mind to teach the peaceful solution, to teach the sermons going out, to teach the laws, to reach those who otherwise wouldn't be able to receive this message. So what he's saying here is that there is a positive, beneficial use for this. However, not everyone benefits from the internet when it's used in excess. So that's beyond the limits of the work or what you've been assigned to do. The disorder becomes evident when surfers, people just wandering around aimlessly, wandering to and fro, remember who gave us that example, Satan, make a break from or deny reality, then exhibit signs of paranoia, or when social networking augments obsessive behavior and lack of self-control in users, you get into cyberbullying and all this. So we see there is a proper positive use for it, but it can easily get out of hand. But notice that they're escaping problems, escaping reality. And they don't have solutions, but we do. And so whenever we watch the news, when we become aware of the situations, we need to be thinking deeper than just the surface. Think about where these problems got their start. And if given the opportunity, what you can do to speak to these people, to speak to these leaders, these teachers, these students and so forth, to help them start on the path to guiding them away from these curses. Here's another article entitled, "A Single Neuron Can Alter the Brain." And I thought, you know, a single sin can cause this. And we see sin, you know, showing up in the single cells of people today. We know that the chaotic ways in which the brain communicates to itself and the rest of the body can lead to some pretty serious health issues, starting with insomnia and even sleepwalking, and later on in life, dementia and other illnesses, if left untreated. So, you see, it doesn't have to be just a genetic, got it from my, what you may have, but anything that affects the brain these days, from within and without, has this potential. But we can make changes to these deleterious patterns starting with just one neuron. And the point being here, and they're still doing research on this, but because this is limited to a lab test, but the point being is that it's just such a small thing, just a single neuron, can set the tone for the whole brain. They already know that certain brain structures, like the brain stem, and help set the tone. But it turns out this altering small parts of the brain may have a profound effect on what the brain says overall. We already know that sound and meditation, or even sitting by ocean waves, or even prayer, which I've experienced, it can speak for our brain patterns exist in a more peaceful state. But it turns out that the change may start from a smaller seed of thought, a single cell. So that shows how fragile our brains can be. We need to take care of them and be feeding them healthy, you know, positive influences. Now, when I come up here to speak, I don't just make a showing. I want to help. And from my own experiences, I think that I can bring some things I found it very effective when others do this. And so I had an experience, and I had a job to do. And I was seeing this job as a hardship, and I felt, you know, that those rebellion coming up within me, that I come up with every excuse of why I shouldn't have to continue doing this job. And what if this? What if that? Well, something I learned from our great overseer, indirectly, you know, through these trials and tests, is that the what ifs isn't until it is. Okay? And so, some of you may have been, or may find yourself in this situation. And I want to introduce you to a little tool here I got. Okay, can you see that? Somebody showed me one of these once. They said, "I bet you think this is the world's smallest extension cord." And I said, "No, I know exactly what it is. I have one exactly like it." This is my little red box. My little red box of negative thoughts. And you notice it doesn't go anywhere. So I thought, I don't want to make the call, you know, he's going to tell me to do something that's going to be another test and is going to make things worse. That doesn't add up, okay? And I fought with this all day long, and I was trying to solve this problem. And I kept looking for solutions, and I thought, you know what? Yahweh's brought you here, ask the question, and receive an answer. And it'll be okay. Yahweh will work it for your best solution. So I came to the conclusion in my mind, the job needs to be done, and it's for someone's benefit. That's it. Period. So what do? With the little red box of negative thoughts, I unplugged from it. And that was the end of it. Any other negative thought, I pushed out. I literally had to put one foot in front of the other. I didn't think about it. I just did it. I knew how to do the job, one foot in front of the other. Well, but what if? If isn't until it is, and then we'll deal with it. And that wasn't the last test. And those other tests came, but then I knew what to do. And we worked through it. And Yahweh sent a blessing. And what I found was that, you know, once I got through that and made up my mind, it took away some of that power of the negative thoughts. And so that's a tool that we can use to make up our minds. What do I need to do? Do I need to cut off this or that? Do I need to do this or that? Then let's get it done. Put it, just unplug from those negative thoughts. Don't let them in. You know what to do. Just get it done. And think about yourself here at Yeshua's Memorial and how you want to be. And do what you need to do to be in that frame of mind that I've done what I've been required to do. And remember, the problems that we're facing in society today are much deeper than a person. That person sitting next to you may offend you or that you work with. The problems we're facing in society are far much greater than that, much deeper than a person or a single incident. And it's going to take all of us teaching by example and action, even in words. If you are in a wheelchair, how you speak. If you're a child, how you speak to your parents. If you're a parent, how you speak to the children. If you're a deacon or deaconess in a servant in Yahweh's house, how you present yourself, how you practice the peaceful solution. You know, sometimes just not knowing how to put something in words can really trip you up. So stop. Think about what you've learned in peaceful solution. Study it. Find the right words. Find the peaceful words to speak. And once you've made up your mind, the correct words to speak that are not confrontational, that are not full of anger and bitterness and excuses, then go ahead and carry that out. And you'll get better results. We're going over to 2 Kefa. I would like to leave you with this thought. 2 Kefa, chapter 1. And verse 3, as his holy power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness, through the full knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. You won't find this out there in the world. You won't find it on the internet. We need to feed our minds with pure thoughts. Anything that's not beneficial. What I'm telling you is that influence that you're receiving from this world, that you have control over, you need to control. And then Yahweh will add to you the strength you need to resist those things you don't have control over. Now, continuing in 2 Kefa, we see here the faith, the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, all these righteous attributes, holiness, brotherly kindness, brotherly love. And remember I said in the beginning, the brotherly love is that firmness, that keeping the law with one another, speaking holy thoughts and words to one another. In verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. That's what I'm asking of us. Before the great feast of Passover and Yeshua's memorial, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, practicing these things that we've learned here, you will never fail. Praise Yahweh. This is the greatest success story in the face of the earth, and that Yahweh's working out. May Yahweh bless your understanding. It's now my great honor and privilege to present to you the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Abel Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone! Praise Yahweh. There you go. You may be seated. While I'm getting ready, I want to show you a quick news clip. And we'll be playing it again, but I'd like to show it right now if we could.
Pay close attention. What you're about to see is Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Welcome to another edition of YPN News, bringing you the news that relates to Bible prophecy and foretold by Yishra Hawkins. We're focusing our entire report today on something that affects every living organism on the face of the earth. From plants and animals to the waters and very air we breathe, nothing is exempt from the devastating effects of climate change. All nations can rarely agree on anything, but the clear and present danger climate change presents the entire world has everyone scrambling to find answers. Unless changes are made quickly and dramatically, the fundamental systems that support human civilization are at an extreme risk. Now, this is all coming from the UN because the evidence from so many nations is convincing and the same. All of this information has people on edge, trying to prepare for more horrific storms, more intense heat waves, and not to mention, ready to evacuate at a moment's notice. To give you an idea, when Superstorm Sandy hit the east coast of the United States, the water rose over 6 feet tall inland. Homes in those areas are now being built 8 feet off the ground to compensate. The latest UN report says coastal communities are at risk and in worst-case scenario could disappear altogether. Climate change has glaciers shrinking, and in Greenland, melting ice has doubled in the last 10 years. All of this ice is going in the oceans, causing sea levels to rise and making storm surges even more deadly. Jason Box, professor of the Geologic Survey of Denmark and Greenland, commented on the melting glaciers in an MSNBC report, saying, "As nature's thermometer, it just reacts. And when it goes away, we know something has changed." Now, in that same report, an interview with Professor Michael Oppenheimer was interviewed from Princeton Geoscientists and International Affairs and was asked, what kind of risk does climate change pose to people? He said, people who live in cities, people who live along the coast, in fact, anybody who eats is under the threat from climate change. Oppenheimer went on to explain that wheat and corn yields are decreasing because of the change in climate. Now, in a world where the population is growing, this will contribute to yet another problem, shortage of food. Oppenheimer said the lack of food and water clearly will create political problems. After all, those are the basics of life. In some places where you have instability, it's going to make instability worse in all likelihood. Now, land is not the only thing suffering. The chemistry of the oceans is changing as well. As the oceans become more acidic, coral reefs are dying. As the seawater is changing, those that rely on it for their livelihood are hurting. Bill Taylor has been watching his oyster supply decline on the coast of Washington State. He said, ultimately, the whole shellfish industry is at risk. If a shellfish can't form a shell, we're out of business. Now, the UN report warns if nothing is done, the snowpacks in the American West will continue to shrink, causing water shortages and worsening droughts. Now, also, that record-breaking heat of 2012 could become routine. Noah Diffenbaugh from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change said, "We are likely to see most summers being hotter than the historically hottest summer. So what used to be the extreme, literally becoming the new normal." And these changes are picking up speed, affecting food and water supplies, human health, and the loss of global species. What do the scientists say? No one and no place will be immune. Now, this latest report leaves a person feeling grim and hopeless. However, there is hope. Yishra Hawkins from the House of Yahweh warned the world years before we even began experiencing these devastating unnatural disasters and what has caused this. And just as he was light years ahead of the scientists in predicting these changes, so is he light years ahead in having the answers to stop it. But I'm not going to spoil it for you. Stay tuned to Yishuel Hawkins, as I'm going to do after this broadcast, and see for yourself. And don't forget, you can also contact the House of Yahweh and request some free information that you can study in the quietness of your own home. To contact the House of Yahweh, you can write them at The House of Yahweh, P.O. Box 2498, Abilene, Texas, 79604. You can call them at 1-800-613-9494. Visit them on any of their websites, www.yahweh.com, www.yishuelhawkins.com, or www.yahwehsbranch.com. You can also email them at info@yahweh.com, and for any calls outside the United States, please call the number on your screen. Well, don't go anywhere. Up next is Yishuel Hawkins. From all of us here at YPN News, I'm Jeffrey Heimerman. Thanks for watching.
Praise Yahweh. You notice? You notice that's getting their attention now. Finally, we're getting their attention. Now, they're talking about the water becoming acidic, and of course, they don't know the real reason yet, but they're going to find it out very soon. The article that is running right now as I speak is the House of Yahweh posts new publication that uncovers cause of extreme weather. And that is really getting some attention. There's already over 56,000 news medias here in the United States that's running this, plus Guam. I think some of you know where Guam is. Philippines, Guam, Philippines. east of it. We're reaching everywhere with these news articles. And I was told that the big newspapers are running this morning. ABCs, we have all the ABCs, all the A's and all the N's, as I said. Dallas is running it big time this morning. The other one that is still running at this time, Peaceful Solution Character Education Incorporated, announces Spring 2014 Educational Convention. That is up to 63,000 now. News media is running that. So we're reaching out. Yahweh is reaching out. Praise Yahweh. If you missed, I showed you the new moon of, I showed you the green ears last Sabbath. By the way, the last Sabbath's show is on the Prophetic Word program now, and this one will follow that one, be running several times a day, so we'll be able to watch it. Those who have the sets during the feast, and also pull it up on a computer when you have nothing to do during the feast, if there's a time that you don't have anything to do during the feast. If you miss the new moon sighting few days ago, you missed a wonderful picture that Yahweh, he first put it in the sun. My picture, I'm standing on the sun. Yes, that's, by the way, that was prophesied. I had it in my notes to bring this feast before the picture was taken. But as, yes, and it's actually there, standing on the sun. And then when the sun went down a little further, we saw it in living color. Then we saw another picture, which it the skies turned gold, and we saw other pictures then in the cloud, this same cloud, that the new moon was to the right of this cloud, and calls started coming in and saying, did you see the new moon? And I said, yeah, we're looking at it now. Did you see the picture in the cloud beside it? Well, there's some pictures. Some say it's myself and the other witness, my brother Jacob. And others say we got a lot of pictures. In fact, Kohan Eliyah told me that there's about 400 pictures came in. I don't know if he's exaggerating or not, but if you didn't see that, we're going to have it show it during the feast, and we're putting the best pictures. We're putting on banners that will be on each side of the sanctuary where everyone can go by and look at these pictures that was taken on the new moon of Green Ears. Couldn't have been at a better time. Praise Yahweh. That Guam that I was telling you about, that's not the only one, but I just saw that they showed me Guam, and then so I got that up this morning. Here's the Philippines, and just to the east of it is Guam, and this is a large newspaper, they said, that was running that story this morning about the true cause of the extreme weather and hazardous conditions that everyone is facing at this time in the world, as they saw right there, those who live in the city, those who live in the country, those who live near the ocean, those who live away from the ocean. Everybody is being affected, and of course it's going to get worse. Getting ready this morning, I had a news on watching it, and of course a preacher came on, one of the worldly preachers. Makes me think of the Pope and his stupidity, but I noticed they were trying to copy the House of Yahweh again, and he had these children, young children, gathered around him, looking at him like he is stupid. That's the way I was looking at him, like he is stupid. But which he is. He's scripturally illiterate. All of these preachers are. They don't really study the scriptures, but then they're not guided by Yahweh, so they wouldn't know the truth if they saw it. But they had the children gathered around him, and he is talking about, now get this, if you've never heard, the only place you've ever heard this word, I know, is from the Peaceful Solution right here at the house. He was talking about parroting. And he says, bring your children to church and give them a foundation in the church that teaches lies, that can't count to three and so forth. That teaches them to break the commandments. This is the foundation that they need in life. Well, they got it. It's been taught, and it's been taught now for 2,000 years. And of course, the Pope is the one we're opposing. The Roman Catholic Church is the one that forced this on the people for so many years and made it a death penalty for anyone who practiced it. It's the system we're opposing right now. If you'll get this in 13, Revelations 13, if you'll get this in your mind, the system, which is the Roman Catholic Church with its huge army. It was called Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. And, of course, they gave them names as Jews now to try to cover the fact that that's who they were. Malachi Martin, in his book, The Keys of This Blood, show how they are the Aaronic priesthood. That's what they're claiming. And that's the reason they had rights to the temple artifacts. In fact, they had them under their control and took them all to Rome. Titus did. That's a matter of history. Anyone can look up the Ark of Titus, and it'll give you the full information on that. I don't know why the house of Yahweh is the only one that noticed it. Looks like this preacher in Abilene would have noticed that. But their eyes are blinded right now, but they will be open one of these days and given a chance. But in Revelations 13, we see this beast that rises up out of the sea. I've covered this. I covered it thoroughly the first time in the Mark of the Beast, chapter, book 1, volume 1. And if you notice verse 2, the last part, the dragon gives him his power, his throne, and his authority. The dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, the dragon. As is shown in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, 1 through 5, Satan saying, take up this evil, practice evil, and you will be like the gods. You won't be like Yahweh, you will be like the gods. Well, this system is like the gods. And they're following the gods. And Satan, Yeshua Messiah said Satan is their leader. And what Satan wants them to do, that's what they're going to do. But here he shows that Satan is giving him his great authority. All the world wondered after this beastly system in verse 3. Verse 4, they worship the dragon. Yes, you're worshiping the dragon. They take these things like parenting that the Peaceful Solution does so well on. The missionary team is doing so well. Everyone is marvels at their teachings when they see this taught, the young children teaching it. And, of course, he had these children gathered around them as if these children were doing something great. But what they want to present is a watered-down version of the Peaceful Solution and make you think you're getting the Peaceful Solution. But coming from a church, something you all love. So instead of coming from the house of Yahweh or Yahweh inspired himself. Well, in verse 5, he says, Revelations 13:5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking to this beastly system. Now, this was the little horn, if you remember, in Daniel, is given unto him a mouth, given unto him to speak, to teach the world. Authority by Satan, as we just saw, was given unto this beastly system to teach the world, not only teach the world, but force the world into compliance with the Roman Catholic Church. And for 1,500 years, more than that, actually, they wouldn't let anyone own a Bible or a manuscript. So how could you know without a manuscript? Well, Yahweh said, you know, you weren't thankful, so I'm going to take it from you, and I'll show you what your end will be. Well, the end, of course, is the plagues we're suffering now that you just saw on the news that they are so concerned about. This concerns everyone on earth. Some are saying it's too late to turn it around. It will be turned around, but not in time to save 4/5 of the earth's population. And this is what they're up against. And the Catholic Church is suffering here too. And I'll read you a little from that. Because the people, they're in anguish, they're in pain, they're mourning, they're asking for answers, and of course they have no answers. The best they can do is try to fake the Peaceful Solution, but they're not worried about salvation. You know, they're worried about losing their money flow that's coming into their church. And of course the people are holding it back, and that's the reason they're going on television now, so many of them advertising their churches. One, he says, lets out hold services at 1 o'clock midnight after all the bars close. We'll come here. We still got drinks available. Well, here he says that he has given, verse 5, he has given to him a mouth. The little horn is the mouth of the Catholic Church, as shown in Daniel. Little means worthless. Worthless as far as salvation. Speaking great things and blasphemy, that's against Yahweh, and power was given unto him to make war 42 moons, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh to blaspheme his name. Well, of course, they admit this. In fact, they told Yeremiah, you prophesy in the name Yahweh, and we're going to kill you. That's Jeremiah in the King James Version. And of course, Yeremiah went on prophesying anyway. He suffered torment. Acts 7 says, which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And then they moved to Rome, changed their name, tried to hide, took all the wealth with them from the temple, and then they passed laws. And of course, everyone they would find that would broke those laws, they'd confiscate all their wealth and add to the till. And this went on for about 1,500 years before the Black Plague set in and took the power away from the Catholic Church, killed many of its priests, gobs of them. And, of course, the people were saying, they were asked in questions and they didn't have any. Well, the plagues are going to be worse this time than they were at that time. And I'm speaking directly to Pope Francis because he, if he truly converted, which he's trying to make out like he repents of sin, but he's lying there too. I don't know if he's actually deceived himself or if he's making up these lies deliberately, but I'll show you what I'm speaking of in a minute. He blasphemes the name of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. The saints are those that keep the laws of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. And the saints, and to overcome them, an authority was given unto him over all tribes, peoples, and languages and nations. Now that all came to pass. For 1,500 years at least it came to pass. It went on here in America, starting with the man who supposedly discovered America in 1492, who was a very ruthless man that history shows killed, murdered, what they called, what he thought he had landed in India, and then that's the reason he called them Indians. But Columbus, he was a very ruthless man who killed, murdered, tried to wipe out all he could of people who had the name Yahweh, who refused to send their children to the Catholic schools, and this went on for years here in America. And finally, it was it came to be united, and laws were written to prevent it getting ready for the woman who brought forth the man. Well, here he says he makes war and he prevails against them up till this time and times and dividing of times, which we're in, and that's the reason the house of Yahweh is allowed to go forward with the teaching or the opposing of the Babylonian system. And all who dwell upon the earth will worship him whose names are not written, whose names have not been written from the foundation of the world. That is the ones that Yahweh planned, foresaw, looked down in the future and preordained to be called into his house to do this job, the seven jobs, the seven lampstand that shows the seven jobs that they were due. If any man has an ear, let him hear. He who is for captivity will go into captivity. He who is for the sword must be killed with the sword. Herein is the patience of the and the faith of the saints. tested. You could mark out that word tested. This is not a test. It's herein is the patience of the faith. The faith is what Yahweh gives you here in the book of Yahweh. This whole thing is the faith of Yahweh given to mankind, given to us. The whole book of salvation. Herein is the patience of the faith. It's a patience of the faith that was given unto us, of the saints. Patience of herein is the patience and the faith, that's a confidence of the saints. Not tested at all. Here it is in one lump sum in this faith that Yahweh gives us. Well, of course, in the letters this week, Pope Francis goes to confession in public. He's been in office now for a year. He was ordained March a year ago. He says the Pope walked over to a confessional and knelt before a priest in public. This is the beastly system that we're looking at right now that rose up out of the sea. The sea is the waters which you saw are multitudes, nations, and tongues. He was allowed, as Daniel said, wherever mankind is, there you're going to rule. And of course, that's what he's done. And it was given into his hands to take away this book of Yahweh, to keep the people from studying it. The only things that they knew was handed down from one person to another. If they were caught owning anything at all that had to do with the prophets or apostles, they were immediately arrested. The mother and father were immediately arrested. The children was given to the orphans' homes provided by the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, where they would teach them Catholicism, of course, and bring them up without the laws of Yahweh, as they're doing today their own groups. And, of course, that's what's wrong with the world today. That's the reason they're plagued with troubles right now, suicides, diseases of all kinds that are plaguing not only their bodies, but the firmament, the water they drink, and so forth. I was going to tell you something. They said the water was acidic and is caused by burning fossil fuels. Now, they're going to find out very soon what the real cause of global warming. They're really working at this. There are scientists now that are discovering in the atmosphere, the firmament, exactly what I told them to look for, and they're finding it by leaps and bounds. So it won't be long till they'll prove Yahweh true as usual. Yes. But the Pope is part of this deceptive system. The chapter before that, in chapter 12, verse 9, says Satan deceives the whole world, and then he shows you how he does it. In verse 13, he rises up, the Catholic Church rises up, where there's peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages, takes the book of Yahweh away from them totally, where they can't read the laws of Yahweh. The one thing that kept the faith going that Yahweh gave to mankind was the daily reading of the laws that Moshe instituted, that Yahweh gave to Moshe and had it instituted, the daily reading of the law. And of course, Daniel says they're going to take that away. The army is going to take it away from you, and you won't have it totally. You won't have it, period. Until the last day's work or the seventh lampstand is brought into fulfillment. So the Pope then, being a part of this, his job is to deceive the world. As they took the laws away from the people, as they took the book of Yahweh, the greatest wisdom that you could find anywhere in the universe, that they had it and they threw it away. And Yahweh allowed it. Well, while it was daily read in the temple, people like Elkanah would go to the kings and say, it's not right for you to be committing fornication or adultery. Here you're a leader of the people, Elkanah said to Herod. You're a leader of the people, and here you're sitting on a throne here in Israel, judging the 12 tribes, and you're got your brother's wife here committing adultery with you. Well, you can imagine how Herod felt at that time. Well, of course, there was thousands of these Elkanahs around that was more than eager to tell the people their sins. Some of them wasn't more than 3 to 7 or 8, 9, 10 years old, and they were doing it too. So they had a problem on their hands. The way they solved the problem, destroy the temple. Take the book of Yahweh away from these people so they'll never have it again and never know a law of Yahweh again. That was their job. That's the Pope's job. It still is. Okay, now listen to this bit of falsehood. The Pope walked over to a confessional and knelt before a priest, public. He then proceeded to confess his sins where everyone could see him. The problem is, either the man doesn't have sense enough, scriptural sense enough, to know what sin is, and hoping those who heard him and those who read this article wouldn't know. Well, of course, I'm here to enlighten the people, to let them know what sin is. You can't just make up your own mind and say, well, it's sin to carry this needle on the back of your hand, or in the palm of your hand for so many feet on the Sabbath. He also criticizes the Sabbath and said God's grace don't work on the Sabbath. See, so it was like he was actually condemning the Sabbath here in the minds of the people. Of course, Yeshua worked on the Sabbath. You can't keep the Sabbath without working on the Sabbath. The first thing you've got to do is get out of bed and go to services. That's work. Those quacks that say they lay perfectly still for 24 hours, you know, they still breathe. If they didn't breathe, and that's work. That's working your lungs back and forth. So it's work. And of course, they know this is written wrong in the King James Version. They know that it doesn't say not to do any work at all, but don't do your own work. Go to the house of Yahweh, the place that Yahweh chooses, and there do his work. Learning is part of his work. Teaching is part of his work. But Acts 3:19 shows that, yes, he's doing the right thing there, part of it. Let's turn there and read that. Acts 3:19, and hope that Pope Francis is listening or this word gets back to him, or they send him a disc or a tape or something, send him a note. Say, Francis, did you notice what the house of Yahweh is saying about you on this Sabbath morning? On the Sabbath. They're actually working on the Sabbath. Seems like some grace is working there somewhere on the Sabbath. Still working on the Sabbath. 3:19, Acts 3:19. Now he's talking to your forefathers here because they murdered the Savior. You're still murdering him. Even today, you're still hanging him on the stake, and with your sins, and until you repent and are converted, those sins will not be wiped out. That's what it says right there. The gospel is the gospel. That is your very words, Francis. The gospel is the gospel. Well, read this gospel here that you're saying is gospel. Repent, therefore, and be converted. So you left out half of it here. Repent of sins. What sins did you repent of? Sins shown in the scriptures are maybe your own. You didn't get out of bed in time this morning. That was a sin. Is that what you're saying? You didn't clean your toenails last night or your fingernails this morning because it was the Sabbath or something? Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Notice that your sins are not blotted out until you're converted. Repenting doesn't work unless you convert, unless you have intentions of converting. Blotted out, that times of refreshings may come from the presence of Yahweh. Not the gods, but from Yahweh. Now, if you'll go over to 1 John 3:4, we'll show you what you've got to repent of. It's very simple. These men were trained by the Savior, and they spoke by His authority. They didn't speak by Satan's authority. They spoke by Yahshua's authority. Yahshua's authority was given by Yahweh, so they were speaking by Yahweh's authority. This was the manna that came down from heaven that He was carrying here. Manna that came down from heaven. The Scripture reveals, and I'll show you this during the feast. You can look forward to it. You probably already know it, but I knew that I was standing on the sun, and I know that Yahweh says I'm shining as brightness. That's what He says about the last day's witness. Yes. Well, here in 1 Yochanan 3, here is one of these apostles or disciples of Yahshua speaking here. And notice in verse 1, he says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh." Actually be called the sons of Yahweh. Well, of course, you're not a son of Yahweh till you are enlightened, that is, begotten or enlightened with the brightness of the sun in these last days. Even the commentators might know what this means, by the way. This is one thing they have right, and they surely they'll tell their congregation that. I do know that that many of these religious leaders, they are running our articles on their websites now. When they see it in the news and they have access to this news, they're actually running this on their websites to the people. Well, he said, on us, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh. If you look at verse 10, he said, This is the children of Yah. In this, the children of Yahweh, which is the sons and daughters of Yahweh, and the children of the devil are made manifest. The difference in the children of Yahweh and the children of Satan, the devil, is keeping the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath day. Keep these appointments, and you will know. That's the only way you will know that Yahweh Himself is separated you to be His sons. Yes, that's what He said. You want to know where that is, Pope Francis? Get one of your men to show you that. Go to Exodus 20 first, then go to Exodus 32. Well, here he says, this is a wonderful thing that Yahweh has done. For us, He's bestowed this on us, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Well, this is a very, that is, they don't know us, they know us. I'll guarantee you we're talked about all over the world. And I told a group this morning that, you know, that we must be the conversation piece of all the churches now, because one of them took the peaceful solution to the DA and said, "Do you see is a lunchbox? The lunchbox. What are we having for lunch today?" The box says, "The peaceful solution character education program." That's what we're eating. We're eating this little book, as Revelation said. Eat this. Well, that's what we're having for lunch. And he took this to the DA and threw it on his desk and said, "Do you see what that house of Yahweh is putting out?" He said, "Yeah, I was noticing that. I was wondering why we're not doing that." Well, well, now they're trying to copy it, copy what we do, because they know that the people have found the answers. When they see this, they say, well, there's the answer right there. Why didn't somebody tell me this before? Well, people are waking up and they're refusing to pay tithe to Baal anymore, to Satan. But he says, beloved, now we are the children of Yahweh, but it is not yet been revealed what we will be, but we will know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Purifies himself. Well, how do you purify yourself? He'll show you in this same chapter, Pope Francis. He'll show you in the same chapter, if you'll just look here. Everyone who has this hope of being a son of Yahweh purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin, now here's the opposite, Pope Francis, whosoever commits sin. What is sin? Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, you say you repent of sin, so does that mean you're going to be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath now? If you didn't, you're not repenting of sin. Neither are you converting from the God worship that's going on in your assembly at this time. Transgression of the law. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. Not take away the law, but take away your sins. To teach you to repent, be converted, stop sinning. Sin no more. That's what you said in your letter. Sin no more, when you tried to twist the other scriptures about the Sabbath. And in him is no sin. And when he returns, he'll be separate from sinners completely. Whosoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. Do not let Pope Francis deceive you any longer. Sin is the transgression of the law. You can't make up your own laws. You can't make up what sin is of your own and saying, well, this is a sin I repent of, and pretend that you're repenting. No, you've got to repent of what sin is, which is the breaking of the law. Then you've got to convert to keeping the law. Little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who commits sin is of the devil. Genesis 3:5. Sin and you'll be like the gods. That's what you are, Francis, right now. But the gods cannot give eternal life. The gods don't give righteousness. And eternal life is required for righteousness. That you won't live forever in the shape you're in now. You'll never live forever unless you repent and be converted. Not a false repentance as you're doing now, but true repentance. He who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Yes, she taught Eve that. Genesis 3:1-5. Genesis 3:1-5. Do evil, and you'll be like the gods. That's what you're doing today, Francis. You're breaking all of Yahweh's laws of righteousness. You're like the gods. The gods won't live forever either. There won't be any gods after this is over. None. There will never be a god again. After this seventh word. That's what your scripture shows. You're going to kill yourselves. He who commits sin is of the devil sinning from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil, the works of the gods, which you are. The Vatican is the works of the gods. as Revelations 13 shows you plainly. You rose up and you took over the multitudes as Daniel said you would. Daniel the prophet said you would. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, you persecuted the people of Yahweh. You took away the daily reading of the law, the daily sacrifice. That's what it was. You put sacrifice. It was the daily reading of the law, and you know that's what that sacrifice was. It wasn't a sacrifice of a bull or an ox. It was the daily reading of Yahweh's laws to show righteousness and how to become righteous and how to obtain an everlasting job in Yahweh's kingdom. And the works of the devil, he's going to destroy the works of the devil. He's doing it now through the 7th work of Yahweh. That's the ones that destroys the work of Satan. We oppose Babylon. Who is that that opposes Babylon? Who is that branch that's opposing Babylon? Look, he's built a house of Yahweh. He's branched out and built a house. That's in Zechariah 6. Whosoever is begotten of Yahweh does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and it is impossible for him to sin, because he has been begotten of Yahweh. In this, verse 10, in this the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. They're made known. Whosoever does not practice righteousness, which you do not, Pope Francis, none of your crew does. You're all practicing the evil of the gods. Whosoever does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh, and he does not love his brother. Does not love his brother. Did you get that? Francis, you're making out like you love the brothers. You don't care a thing about your brothers. If you did, you'd be teaching them the laws of righteousness. You'd be teaching them the laws of righteousness, and that would straighten out what you say you're doing, taking from the rich and giving to the poor. You're Robin Hood. Yes, Robin Hood. You do not love your brothers if you don't keep the laws of Yahweh. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. Yes, same message taught to Adam and Eve in the beginning. And Satan lied then, and she's still lying now from the 7 hills of Rome. That we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. He was a murderer. I'll show you more on that later. It gets very, very deep right here when you start seeing what Cain did to actually cause this hatred and how it works in the human body, as it's working in you right now, Pope Francis. That's the reason you hate me and you hate the house of Yahweh. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Why? He's asking a question, and then he answers it here. Because his works were evil. His works were evil. Doing evil works sets hatred in the mind, and it will manifest, as Yeshua said, if it's harbored, then like lust, it turns to sin. It turns to actions. Same thing as adultery. Looking on a woman to lust, or a child to lust after him, like the priest of the 7 hills of Rome do. This puts a hatred. Yes, it builds hatred the same as it does. I can prove that. Even the studies of the world prove this. Evil. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to show you all of that this feast. So stay tuned in, Francis, because his works were evil. That's the reason for this. It builds up sin. I don't care what size sin. That's the reason, brethren, we're going to be guarding and keeping the laws of Yahweh, the garden of Yahweh, the tree of life. We're going to be guarding and keeping that truly, without any sin at all, ever entering our bodies again. And his brothers were righteous. So the enzymes, this actually works with the enzymes in the body. There's a hatred. That's the reason no enzymes is going to obey us until we gain this authority that comes through righteousness. But 13 now, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. So he's telling you right here that this is already set. It was set in the days of Cain, and Yahweh shows without a doubt, and I'll bring it out during the feast, Yahweh willing, that this hatred was set with the first sin, and it's grown ever since. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you do not have eternal life abiding in you. And this comes from just hatred. Well, that's just, look at Jacob. Let's continue on here. We got a few minutes, so let's take this all the way for Pope Francis, who is our opponent at this time. Hopefully he'll repent. But to add to this, remember, sin is the breaking of the law. And you can't pick and choose. You could say, well, I'll do everything but keep the Sabbath day. I know you hate the Sabbath because that's an appointment that you keep with Yahweh, and you don't worship Yahweh. What you're in your body right now is the hatred without you even knowing it. It's there. And that's the reason you hate your brother. That's the reason you hate Yahweh. That's the reason you hated Yahshua. And that's the reason your forefathers hated Yahshua. But if you look at chapter 2 of Jacob, who you changed his name, I know, to James in the King James Bible. But 2 and verse 10, he says, whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. Well, what law is he talking about? He's speaking of the Ten Commandments here, as he shows you in verse 11. For he that said, do not commit adultery. That law of adultery was said in the Ten Commandments. Said also, do not steal. That law of do not steal is one of the Ten Commandments. So he said, do not murder. He said, verse 11, he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, yet if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. As we just saw in 1 John 3:4, he who sins transgresses the law. So if you break one law, you become a transgressor of the law. You've got to keep them all. You can't dismiss the Sabbath day. You've become a transgressor of the law. You can't hate your brother. Now, to not hate your brother takes conversion, because it takes a while to get the hateful enzymes out of your body once you repent. It takes a while, and you can work at it, and it's possible. It's possible. Let's go back to the Savior's words now in Matthew 5, and verse 17, I believe it is. 5 and verse 17, where the Savior here says the same thing now. And remember, the gospel is the gospel. Unless you changed it in a Catholic Bible to where it doesn't say this, it will say this right here. Do not even think that I've come to destroy the law. Don't think that at all. The Savior didn't destroy the law. Neither did his 12 disciples. They all taught the law. That's the reason your forefathers killed them. They hated them, so they killed them. They murdered them. You spent 1,500 years, your forefathers did. Francis, you know this. You know the history of the Roman Catholic Church and the billions of people that you killed. Do not even think that I've come to destroy the law. Why are you saying he came to destroy the law? He said, don't even think that at all. Or the prophets, or the prophecies. Yes, those prophecies are going to come to pass too. They're coming to pass right now. The plagues that you see right now that you have no answers for, I know you have no answers for, and you're trying to fool the people by making out like you've repented, and so they'll be healed. They won't be healed. They're getting sicker every day. Your drugs can't heal them anymore. The God's drugs are all totally they're totally obsolete now. The enzymes, the little enzymes have outsmarted you. The little bacteria have actually outsmarted your gods. That's where you stand right now. You have no help in the Vatican. The seven hills of Rome couldn't heal anything anymore. You're standing in a rut that you can't get out of right now, and you're on the track to destruction. And you know you are. Destroy them, but to establish them forever. He's going to bring back the laws of Yahweh that was taken away from the people, and his house is going to guard and keep those laws forever. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass away, one yod, the smallest of the letters, just like Jacob said, he said, if you break one, you're guilty of all. If you hate your brother, you're guilty of breaking them all. If you hate your brother, that's murder. You've already committed a murder in your heart. You hate me right now. You would like to murder me. I know. Well, we'll in no ways pass from the law till all things are perfected by the law. Yes, by the law of Yahweh. Whosoever therefore will break one of these least, the least of these laws, and will teach men so. You get that, Francis? That's what you're doing right now. Not only are you breaking the least, you're breaking the greatest. You're breaking them all. And you're teaching men to do so. Whosoever will break them will be called least in the kingdom of Yahweh. That is, you will be judged to be the least. Well, you're already judged to be the least. That's the way you're named in Daniel. The little horn, the worthless horn that brings forth the lies of Satan. That's what Daniel said of you in chapter 7. But whosoever will do and teach them, the same will be called great. Daniel said, you'll shine like the sun. Like the sun? There's some beautiful prophecies I want to bring you during the feast. Shine like the sun. And Yahweh's already put it in the cloud before us, in the sun before us, before the feast ever began. If you'll look over to Luke, I'll show you your judgment. Luke 2. Luke 2, for breaking one of the least. Breaking one of the least. That's how it got started. Breaking one of the least. That's how it got started. And people didn't realize. They didn't realize it. They thought, well, no, nothing occurred to me. But it did. And it starts working, first of all, in the heart of all places. It starts in the heart, and it starts building there. In the heart, they're finding out more and more about the heart now. They're finding out that what the Scripture says about the heart is actually true. It starts building in the heart, and of course, the heart starts sending signals and of resentment and hatred, bitterness, where people can't control themselves, and it gets to the point to where they think they're solving their problem by murdering someone else. And there come your continual war that Yahweh told Cain, and all the world has gone the way of Cain, of course. Well, Luke, I'm sorry, I said two. It's actually Luke 13. Luke 13. And here they talked about the Galileans. And this was part of course, your forefathers' doings. They were killing them back then. The Galileans, the ones that actually where Yeshua came from. They hated those people, didn't even know why they hated them. And that's something. We had that testified in court. We had a woman. She said, I don't know why I hate Israel Hawkins. I just hate him. And she testified to that in court, where it was proved that I was the most hated man on the face of the earth. Now, why? And people don't even know me, but they hate me. It goes really deep, as we'll get into very, very soon, probably the next three to four sermons anyway. Luke 13 and verse 3, verse 1, it says, at that time there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Well, of course, their sacrifices in Galilee was teaching the laws of Yahweh. The reading of the laws, that was their sacrifice, their daily sacrifice. And of course, Pilate, he thought he was doing a great thing because he was trying to destroy the law, they first started out making out like no one could keep the law. Well, the way they polluted the Sabbath was look in the Talmud. You have a copy of the Talmud at the Vatican. You stole it from the temple, remember? You had a copy of it. The Babylonian Talmud's what taught you this mess to begin with. Look in it. It will show you that you made a mockery out of the Sabbath by saying you can walk 3 paces or 4 paces on the Sabbath. You won't find that in the prophet's writings. You're adding to the prophet. And Revelation says that you add to this, you're adding your own death warrant. You're adding your own plagues to your life when you add to any part of this. You can't add to it and you can't take away from it. You've got to guard it as Yahweh put it here. It's perfect. It can't be improved. There's no way to improve it. 13, he killed these people. But Yeshua, rebuking, said to them, do you think these Galileans were sinners? Well, of course they did. The police arrested them. If the police arrested them, they must have been guilty. Yeah, they arrested Yeshua too. They arrested the 12 disciples. We have records of 11 of the 12 disciples that you murdered. Many of them in Rome, Francis. You know that. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read that. You'll see what went on among your forefathers, who also changed the name that you said we should follow. They were sinners. They were followers of gods, just like you are today. But Yeshua, rebuking them, said, do you think these Galileans were sinners? Is that the reason you think that the police came down there and killed them? They came down there and killed them because they were teaching, trying to hold on to the book of Yahweh, trying to tell you, we don't want to put our children in your schools. We don't want them taught that the laws of righteousness is done away with. Verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that's speaking to you, Pope Francis. Unless you repent, there's not a person on the face that has ever lived that will make it into Yahweh's kingdom unless he repents and converts to the laws of Yahweh, as Acts 3:19 tells him. Otherwise, you're going to perish. In Revelations 18, it shows the judgment there and tells you to come out. Revelations 18, this is talking about the seven hills of Rome, the city that sits on the seven hills of Rome. And this is speaking to you, Pope Francis, and the sins that you're that has risen up to heaven that you and your predecessors have done, that you brag on for doing away with the Sabbath, doing away with the laws, doing away with the name of Yahweh. Revelations 18, and after these things, I saw another messenger come down from heaven, and that is written wrong. I saw another messenger. If they could have separated this to where you really need to notice that. I saw another messenger, period. Put a period after I saw another messenger. And then you can understand the rest of it. I saw another messenger and coming down from heaven, having great authority from heaven. Coming down from Yahweh out of heaven was authority that given to this messenger. I saw a messenger, and coming from Yahweh in heaven was authority from Yahweh to this messenger, just like it came to Yahshua. He didn't come down from heaven, no, but the authority came down. And the way the King James Version screwed it up, you'd think he came down. No, this work is being done by man, being done by the sons of man. Unless you're the sons of man, you won't receive this. It's strictly for the sons of man. And they're born and raised here on earth. And they're appointed here on earth to do jobs, men and women. And coming down from Yahweh gives them the authority. The authority don't come from the gods here. It comes from Yahweh himself out of heaven. Well, I hope I said enough there to let you see. And the earth was enlightened by him. That means it lit up where you could see like the sun was shining, right? Don't be stupid. Enlightened. He was taught. He was taught the laws of Yahweh. The laws of Yahweh are a light unto my feet. The earth was enlightened by this messenger. Not that he was bright and shiny like the sun, but he spoke the words of Yahweh to the earth, and now it's going all over the earth live. It's going live right now, by the way, all over the earth. Praise Yahweh. It's also going out by the prophetic word. It's also going out in about 20 different other ways. And when you pull these up, I'm so amazed when you pull up like YisraelHawkins.com. You first see the screen and it tells you what to do, and then it starts listing all of this stuff. I said, did we put it right that? Man, it'd take 50 years to do that. Well, it did. It took us about 50 years or more. We've been working about 50 years. Well, he cried mightily with a strong voice. Babylon the Great is fallen. That's exactly what I'm doing right now, is telling you that Babylon is fallen. And it's become a hellhole, is what it's become. A hellhole of demons. And every foul and unclean spirit is there. And the hatred, the uncleanness and the hatred. Look at the last four words of that verse. It's all here, sitting before you, causing curses of all kind, including the droughts, including hailstones as big as grapefruit, they said. That's what they had in Denton yesterday. Denton, Texas. They're looking for a rain. Oh, praying for a rain. We need rain. They got hail as big as grapefruits. Beating their cars to pieces. if you got hit in the head with a hail ball the size of a grapefruit, I think you'd have some cushion. Man, imagine that headache that come from. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Yes, all nations. That's what it said in chapter 17. From this city that sits on the seven hills, all nations have partaken of your deception. She deceives the whole world. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They've followed your teaching. The merchants of the earth have grown rich, forcing the people to work, forcing them. I had an article I wanted to read you. This included about 30 million people. 30 million people like this one woman. She's divorced. That's one of the curses of the earth today. She was married, two children. Then came the divorce. She was a career woman. She wanted to sue her husband for everything he had and go out and see the world. Man, is that a bitter pill to swallow? One of the curses of plagues that plague the earth right now. Well, she's left with two children. She came home. She lost her job. She had a high-paying job. She lost it. As the beauty disappears, so does the desire to carry on. That's today's world. Another curse. People we should be praising, bowing down to. Bow down to the hoary head. That's the gray-haired person, woman or man. Respect the age of wisdom. That should be taught instead of discarding it for some whore. But this is going on till the body gets to breaking down. Well, this woman, two children, she comes home, she lost her job. This is devastating. Where do I get the money to pay the bills? I have this house that I bought. I'm making huge payments on it. Beautiful house. Well, the house is gone. She's saying, the house is gone. My car, how can I make payments on the car? She starts hunting another job. She finds one. The best she can do this time is a McDonald's. And of course, she's working part-time there. She says, I go to sleep of a night, I'm thinking, numbers are going through my mind. How can I pay my car payment to keep them from taking my car away from me? How can I pay my house payment? 30 million people this is going on with right now in America. She comes home after being out looking for jobs, and here's a note tacked to her door, a foreclosure notice on her house. Well, that's what she was fearing, and now it's come upon her. The next thing would be her car. She moved to the cheapest place she could find where her and her two children are living, and she's still worried that they, because she can't make the money to make a car payment. Well, this is today's world. This is just one of the many, many curses. Besides that, her body's broken down now. Diseases. And the longer she lives, the greater the diseases become. And then the doctor starts taking off part of the body. This part. Well, it's got cancer. Let's take it off before it spreads. Oh, boy, what a joke. And that's what Babylon is pushing. It's fallen. They have no answers for the world. I heard another voice from heaven saying, that is authority coming from heaven for this voice to say, this messenger to say, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins, so that you do not receive her plagues. The Pope actually quoted Yeshua as saying, sin no more, lest a worse plague come upon you. Well, here is speaking of the Vatican right now firsthand, and it's saying, come out of her, come out of the Vatican, come out of the Roman Catholic Church, my people, Yahweh's people, so that you do not partake of her sins, so that you do not receive of her plagues, her sickness, her disease. and the many thousands of things that are causing people to commit suicide. This is their only way out, they say. This is in their mind. This is their only way out. For her sins, the breaking of Yahweh's laws, the breaking of Yahweh's laws have reached unto the heavens, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. Her iniquities, removing the name, removing the names of the of Yahweh and Yahshua from the scriptures, changing them up to where the Catholic Church will approve of this. Well, this is screwed up enough that nobody can understand it. You can print this one. Because, you know why? Because the people were demanding to know. They knew that there was manuscripts that was written by Yahweh's prophets, and they weren't allowed to own them. And there was billions of people saying, well, inside the Catholic Church, we want these scriptures. Well, now they're offered once again, because the house of Yahweh is established in these last days. And the people are saying, hey, we should have been doing this all along. Look at this. How wonderful this is that is written here in this peaceful solution. A character education that we can train our children with. And here comes the churches saying, build your foundation here. Your foundation? Foundation of death and murder and disease? Yes, that's the foundation that you Christians are advertising to their children. The real foundation is the writings of the apostles and prophets with Yahshua's acts, his testimony and his way of living as being the chief cornerstone. That's what you should be practicing. That will bring you eternal life. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.